Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
If we didn't take on health care, then when were we going to take it on? And if we don't take it on, then what are we going to say to families when 2 years from now, 3 years from now, 4 years from now, their premiums have gone up 30-40%?
President Obama on Good Morning America today. And if it happened in Massachusetts, maybe it can happen in Connecticut, too, with Chris Dodd retiring from the Senate. That seat up for grabs. Democratic Attorney General Richard Blumenthal is considered the heavy favorite, but two Republicans are vying for another Northeast upset in the Nutmeg State. Linda McMahon, former CEO of World Wrestling Entertainment, and former Connecticut Congressman Rob Simmons, and he joins us now. Congressman Simmons, thanks for doing this. Welcome to WNYC.
Well, thank you, Brian, and it's great to be on the show. It's a great show.
Thank you. Can a Republican win in Connecticut like Scott Brown won in Massachusetts?
Well, let's put it this way. As a Republican, I won 3 out of 4 races for Congress in a district that was only 20% Republican by party affiliation, and my first race was against a 20-year incumbent, Sam Gageson, who outspent me, 3-1. So miracles can happen in Connecticut, miracles can happen in Massachusetts, and we're ready for another miracle in Connecticut.
Do you drive a truck?
I drive a CJ7 Jeep without a top.
You do drive a truck.
And my regular vehicle is a Trailblazer, which is a truck.
Now, I want to get your reaction, since you're a candidate, to a ruling that the Supreme Court just handed down a few minutes ago. I may be the first one to be breaking this to you, but the court has ruled that corporations may spend freely to support or oppose candidates for president and Congress, easing decades-old limits on their participation in federal campaigns. They overturned a 20-year-old ruling that said corporations can be prohibited from using money from their general treasuries to pay for campaign ads. This will also certainly allow labor unions to participate more freely in campaigns, according to the AP, and threaten similar limits at the state level around the country. They struck down as well part of the landmark McCain-Feingold campaign finance bill that barred union and corporate paid issue ads, those independently financed issue ads in the closing days of election campaigns. How do you think this would affect your race, and do you like it as a matter of democracy?
Well, I think it's good news. I think there's been concern in the past that these restrictions are a restriction on free speech. My own view is that the key element here is transparency, not who is giving money, but how do you know who's giving money? We all know that under McCain-Feingold, there were loopholes, the 527 loopholes, that allowed some very influential people like George Soros and others to pump millions of dollars into the election cycle, and yet at the same time, it shut certain organizations out. The National Rifle Association, for example, and others seemed to be shut out the last 30 or 60 days of an election. So I think this is good news. The key is not how much money is being given or who's giving it, but whether the people know who's giving it. Transparency is the key, and the rest of it's all about the First Amendment.
So as long as it's transparent, you're okay with a corporation being given the rights of an individual, a human being, under the law for campaign finance purposes?
Yeah, and in the past, a political action committee is not unlike a corporate entity. Certainly the unions have been able to give freely. Indian tribes have been able to give freely under the law. So I think it levels the playing field. But again, what's critically important is transparency. The people want to know who's supporting the candidate, and they want to know in a timely fashion. Much as McCain-Feingold or Shays Meehan tried to bring about reform, they still didn't provide that transparency, and that's been a real problem.
All right. I have two clips of President Obama that I want to get your reaction to from Good Morning America today. This first one is about populist anger and why both Brown and Obama won their elections.
The same thing that swept Scott Brown into office swept me into office. People are angry and they're frustrated. Not just because of what's happened in the last year or 2 years, but what's happened over the last 8 years. And here in Washington, from their perspective, the only thing that happens is that we bail out the banks.
But you're in charge now.
It was the right thing to do for us to salvage the financial system. And I make no apologies for that at all. But we knew at the time how politically toxic that was.
So, Congressman Simmons, do you agree with the president that the same thing could have propelled Scott Brown and Barack Obama to election victories?
No, I think it's exactly the opposite things. President Obama made commitments for openness, transparency, change, bills that would be posted on the internet, CNN sitting into the discussions of issues that concern us as citizens, no more earmarks. I mean, the list goes on. None of that came to pass. And then instead of what I call health care reform, we were presented with a health care takeover bill, takeover by the government, at a time when we could ill afford another expensive government experiment, at a time when unemployment was 10%, tens of thousands of people are faced with foreclosure, and it was all done in secret. So I think that, in fact, the Massachusetts miracle was a reaction against the Pelosi-Reid Congress and the administration, and that movement was quite different from what propelled Barack Obama to the White House.
Now, remind me, and forgive me for not knowing this, but were you ousted from your House seat in 2006 by the Democratic wave sweeping at that during that year?
Yes, yes, I was, by 83 votes.
So it was close, but
closest race in the country.
But if that could happen one year and this could happen a few years later, one theory is that more people are identifying as independents rather than with either party. President Bush left office more unpopular than President Obama is today. So do you think the country wants to go back to the Bush-era Republican agenda and the Republican Congress's agenda, or didn't people already reject those things?
No. I'm an American, and you know, as I travel around the state of Connecticut and as I travel around the country, I don't talk to people who want to go back in the sense. I talk to people who want to go forward, people who want to go forward to free enterprise, people who want to go forward to more transparency, people who want to go forward to a time when the government is less intrusive into our private lives and the economy, where the government is not nationalizing General Motors, for example, where the government is not bashing the bankers. I mean, the president said he salvaged the banks, but then he savages the banks. You know, they're fat cats. So you know, let's go forward to some of the fundamental principles that we enjoy as Americans: free enterprise, personal responsibility, liberty, these kinds of values. I think that's what's at work in Massachusetts and elsewhere around the country.
Today, the president is calling for new rules to make banks smaller, no longer too big to fail and therefore able to make stupid decisions and take stupid risks because they're safe in the knowledge that the taxpayers would have to bail them out. Do you support that initiative, and does that not mean that we had too much free enterprise, at least in the banking sector?
No, we didn't have too much free enterprise in the banking sector. I think we had deregulation deletion or the pulling of Glass-Steagall. And what happened was we mixed and mingled all kinds of different things in one big package. And, yeah, certain banks got extraordinarily large. And when a bank is too big to fail, we got a problem. My understanding is that if you create a formula where a larger and larger bank has to have larger and larger reserves, then it's a self-regulating system, because the need to have those larger reserves are going to create costs, so it becomes less cost-effective for a bank to get really, really big.
Depending
on how you formulate that, that could actually work.
And I think that's the other part of the president's proposal, if I'm not mistaken. So you would support something along those lines.
I support it in theory, but with this administration and with this Congress, I want to see the language of the law.
Former Connecticut Congressman Rob Simmons, hoping to be the next U.S. Senator from Connecticut. Here's the other clip of the president from Good Morning America. This is about health care reform.
Talk to all those people out there right now who have lost their health care during the course of this year because they've lost their jobs, or all the small businesses who've seen the premiums that they're paying going up 20-25%. You know, the reason I tackled health care wasn't because this was my personal hobby horse. The reason I tackled it was, during the course of the campaign, I traveled all across this country, and I kept on hearing heartbreaking stories about families who were bankrupt because they got sick. And by the way, when I got here and I looked at how we were going to get control of our long-term debt, I realized that there was no way for us to control our long-term debt unless we reform how our healthcare system works.
President Obama on Good Morning America today. So, Congressman Simmons, your reaction to that and those concerns and the necessity of doing something about that this year?
Well, the president is speaking about one thing, but his administration and the Congress are doing something else altogether different. He's talking about the rising cost of health care. We're all familiar with that. We've all been through that. We all understand that. But the rising cost of health care is not going to be resolved by a government takeover of health care. And that's where the argument falls down. We can address the cost of health care with association health plans, for example, which is a legislative initiative that I supported in my years in Congress. We can address the cost of health care with competition for insurance across state lines, something that you can't now do. That's a way to reduce the cost. We can address the cost of health care when we look at the defensive medicine that's being practiced by so many doctors around the country, because our system of torts needs to be more carefully examined and made more efficient. So there are many ways that we can address the cost of health care, but what we're talking about in Washington, D.C. today is the government takeover, and that's something altogether different.
The president says the GOP has been the party of no this year. Is there a smaller version of the Democratic health care bill that you could support? The president seemed to indicate that that might be the next tack. Like, if they focus on specific rules for insurance companies, no more denials for pre-existing conditions, no more lifetime caps on benefits, that kind of thing?
Yeah, but hey, there's a quick and easy answer to all of this for the president, Harry Reid, and Nancy Pelosi. Bring the Republicans in. It's not as if the Republicans haven't been talking about these issues that I just listed. It's not as if they haven't been out there for quite a while. Why don't we back up, bring the Republicans in, and do some real discussion, real negotiation, do it in public, and see what the public reaction is, and then move from there, rather than this power play in secret, which, again, creates fear and anxiety. I mean, when senior citizens have worked their whole life and now are eligible for Medicare, and they're reading that the government funding for Medicare is going to be cut by $500 billion, that creates fear and anxiety. They want to know what's going on. And I think this administration and this Congress has an obligation to the people to be far more transparent and to bring Republican ideas to the table as well.
By the way, let me issue what might be a correction. I'm going to confuse everybody for a minute. The story that I read before about the Supreme Court ruling, I'm looking at a Washington Post version right now, which is actually a little bit different.
Oh, boy.
And says that...
Oh, boy. Now what have you done?
So that's
Brian.
Right. President Obama admits...
You tricked me, Brian.
That's right. So we're going to play your soundbite, no matter what the real truth... No, I'm kidding.
Okay.
The Washington Post says it leaves in place a prohibition on direct contributions to candidates from corporations and unions, that this was about indirect contributions. The part that was struck down, let's see, was on corporations donating indirectly, that is doing an ad without the permission of the candidate. This is the part that was struck down. The direct corporate restrictions to candidates may still be in place. So we will have to clear this up, but I'm just noting that the Washington Post and the Associated Press seem to have two different versions of this right now.
Well, my position still stands pretty much that transparency is the key in all of this. Timely notification of who's getting what from whom, that is fundamental to the process.
We're just about out of time, but if you get the nomination, you'd be running against the popular state attorney general, Richard Blumenthal. I realize Martha Coakley was a popular state attorney general, but I have a feeling Blumenthal is no Martha Coakley when it comes to campaigning. So how do you run against Richard Blumenthal?
Well, so far, Richard Blumenthal has taken no position on some of the key issues that are before us. The TARP funds, the stimulus funds, bringing Khalid Sheikh Mohammed to New York City, health care, government takeover of health care. He's taken no position on these issues. Like Coakley, he's been able to pick and choose his issues, and he picks what's popular for him. He is the protege of Senator Chris Dodd. Every issue that Senator Chris Dodd has taken on over the last 6 or 8 months or year emanating out of Washington, D.C., Richard Blumenthal is going to have to say, I'm for it or against it. In other words, he's going to have to step up to the plate and shoulder the burden of the Democrat agenda, and he will find that his numbers will diminish when he does that.
Former Congressman Rob Simmons from Connecticut, now running for the Republican nomination to be the next U.S. Senator from Connecticut. If it happened in Massachusetts, who knows? Could happen in Connecticut. Thank you very much. We look forward to talking to you again.
Thank you.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. And coming up next, our Bad Parent series continues with another parenting discussion taboo. Is it okay to say you want a lot of kids? Stay tuned.